Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to another Rahala Stapa, Rahala Stapa. This one with a return visit from Tim Minchin, very exciting. Hey, look, if you like podcasts, we've started doing As It Occurs To Me again, and there's a bonus free audio podcast on the As It Occurs To Me channel, both on iTunes and the British Comedy Guide. It was quite good fun. We also recorded the first video episode. We're going to put all the videos out in 2017. The audio is kind of slapdash and fun, and the video is still slapdash, but a little bit more professional. So if you want to come and see those recorded, come to the Leicester Square Theatre. They're monthly. I think the next one's October the 16th. It'll be lovely to see people down there. They're lots of fun to watch. And also, of course, we're doing the Rahalastapa Kickstarter, which is over halfway now with a couple of weeks to go. We need about 1,000 more people to go and make a donation. There's some fantastic rewards there. And if that happens, we can carry on filming the podcasts. Coming up on the next series, you can buy tickets at leicestersquaretheatre.com. On the 3rd of October, Armando Iannucci will be my guest. And there's some other very exciting guests coming up this series already pegged in that I will inform you about very soon. But do buy tickets for Armando Iannucci if you want to see him, or go to the Kickstarter if you want to see Armando Iannucci on video on the YouTube channels, iTunes, and all the usual places. Anyway, let's sit back and enjoy Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with Tim Minchin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. I can already tell you're much better than last week's audience. I can already tell that. Done that before the show this time. That's a new one, isn't it? Please welcome a man who has had an indecent proposal from a TV star, and he's going to tell you all about it. It's Richard Herring! We voted Remain, so hello, welcome to Richard Herring's, and we should be allowed to. It's Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was at my Hucklebuck lesson, for the Hucklebuck dancing class I go to, so they teach you how to do the Hucklebuck. The lesson is, they just say, if you don't know how to do it, you're out of luck, which seems, you know, you're paying a lot of money for those But the bloke running the Hucklebuck class, who I think might be the same bloke who sang it originally, he calls it Rahelastama. So I don't know what that's saying. And yes, I've just remembered this backstage that I wrote about. You know, if you listen to this podcast, you know I'm obsessed with having sex with puppets, which I think goes back to being a 19, 20 year old man and Stuart Lee attempting to wank me off with a ventriloquist dummy. I think that's the only way I can make sense of my puppet fetish. Firstly, actually, this is something someone emailed me to tell me that people who want to have, because I also have a fetish about robots, so I'm a strange person, so if it's a robot puppet, I'm delighted. That's why I like Justin's house so much. He's not really a puppet, but he'll do. But someone told me that someone who has sex with dolls are called pedophiles. I mean, come on, that's... They know what they're doing there. That's not fair, is it? Having sex with a doll, a blow-up doll isn't the same as having... They're trying to lump them all together. That is an awful thing. That's just by the by. But I wrote in my Metro column last week about turning 49, which I did last week, or 2 weeks ago, or a lot of weeks ago. And my five things I wanted to do. And one of them was to make love with Fenella from the Furchester Hotel, who some parents are in, who is a Muppet. She's like sort of Sybil Fawlty in this hotel. She's a sort of middle-aged woman. There's something fruity and quite exciting about it. And I said, my wife has given me permission to have sex with Fenella and the puppeteer and the voiceover artist. They'd have to be there, right? And the minute this was published, the voiceover artist from the Furchester Hotel said she was up for it, but not with me, which was and then... The producer of the Furchester Hotel got in touch with me to ask if I wanted to bring my family to Salford to see a film, which is sending out a double message there, isn't it? Because it's... I don't know what's going to be expected of us when we get there. And they go, well, you were the one who said you said you wanted this. I didn't want to bring my wife and child with me. So I'm going to go, obviously. Who wouldn't want to go to the Furchester Hotel? It's quite exciting. It's amazing. You just write something in the paper and then you get to... Should have chosen someone better than Fenella from the Furchester. Anyway, our next guest could... He wouldn't look at home in the Furchester Hotel. He is probably best known for his appearance in Ruth Jones's Easter Treat. If you want to hear more about that. He was also, of course, and then others will know him as Tom in Two Fists, One Heart. Yeah, there's some fans of that. It's his second appearance on. He was the first ever guest on Rahelastapa. It's Tim Midgin, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Hello. Sit down. Pull up a microphone. How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
I'm good.
Been travelling around, a bit jet lagged.
I feel good, yeah. I'm incredibly... I don't know how I feel ever this last couple of months. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sort of constantly almost on the edge of hysterical laughter or crying. it's just time zones, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like... Because I'm busy and important. It's the subtext there.
Yeah.
It's a bit clear.
So let's talk a bit about your appearance as Tom in Two Fists, One Heart.
Yeah, Two Fists, One Heart. Yeah, right.
Which you also wrote a song for, I believe.
I did, and it was an Australian boxing movie. It wasn't bad, actually. It's sort of weird art house boxing movie about a father, immigrant Italian, Sicilian father, who you find out later was going to be a boxer in the Olympics in the 40s or something, ended up in jail. Anyway, who projects his failed ambitions on his son, and it's about violence and immigration, and it was quite a nice film. But the co-writer was a boxer, a well-known Perth kind of standover guy, a Sicilian guy whose gym got firebombed by the local mafia and stuff. And he co-wrote this film, and he taught me to box. That's why I'm such a good boxer. And in Italian, someone, two fists, one heart.
They're not as clever as they used to be, are this audience?
Your audience
did this. They have.
When
we did this before, there was a guy who gave us every answer. Go on, what?
Duo. No, mano is just hands, and the fist is different. But good. I mean, good. Anyway. But anyway, it doesn't sound so much like a porn in Italian. Okay. So, yeah, we call it Two Fist One.
It cost $8.5 million Australian dollars to make.
And what took, are we talking about?
And took,
it's brilliant. I played a very small role.
At the box office, took $305,300 Australian dollars.
Oh, did it really?
And the fact they put the 300 in there is what makes it really,
it's important
really
to count every dollar. I didn't ever know that figure. I went and saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. So should we? Is it on Netflix?
I don't know if you can find. Has anyone seen it?
No.
Yeah, you'd have to.
How's Tim in it? Is he good?
He's good.
He's good. Yeah, I think
the person who just put her hand up also flew to Sydney to see me in a play. So
I felt a certain partisan feeling there.
And the person next to her flies from Finland to see me every time I appear in London.
Wow. It's all right, we'll keep an eye
on your stalkers.
We'll keep an eye on him, Tim. We'll keep...
It's fine. I don't know. It's profiling.
I listen back. I mean, fuck, the whole fucking front row are stalkers of mine, so that's what... David Frew's always there. Look at him, man. Andy McCage. I know their fucking names. It's terrible.
I know, it's really weird. You just encourage them by knowing their names.
I do. I've listened back to the first podcast. Oh, it's a long time ago. Like, it's 4.5 years since we spoke last. And it was very childish, I have to say. It was the first one I did.
Smutty.
And it's changed a lot. We talked to... I asked... My first question was, have you ever tried to suck your own cock? And that is a very inappropriate question to ask. And we talked about...
You were starting out.
I know, but we talked about prolapsed anuses and having sex. I mean, I'm embarrassed about it. So it's going to be a very different interview. If you had to choose between dating a woman who was a 6-foot-tall vagina, or vulva, really...
Just a massive fanny.
Just a massive fanny. Or a woman who, instead of having sexual parts, had just another woman there. Just, it'd be like in a sort of cave.
Does the 6-foot fanny have eyes?
No, it doesn't have eyes. I mean, it might see through its clitoris as a cyclops.
Does it have a brain? Is it intelligent?
I think you could probably hold a conversation. It would talk. It might be a bit, but it would talk. You know, I mean, that'd be fine.
Loose lips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would give the appearance.
Terrible at keeping secrets.
It would put on like false arms to make it look like more like a person. But I mean, it'd be hard.
But you'd know it's a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could brush its hair in a certain way.
Sort of like Boris Johnson, is sort of trying to make itself look human, but you know it's a cunt.
Yeah.
Oh, I should go back to stand-up. It's almost a joke.
Or it's the other. It's like two women. I think they would go all the way down. There'd be this little sort of popsicle effect that woman would come out and it'd be a complete woman, but she would be inside. But then she'd come out. She'd have another woman.
So
all the way
babushka,
down.
Yeah, sort of situation.
Yeah. But you could, it'd be like going out with two women at once, that one.
Well, it wouldn't, because neither of them have vaginas. Not that I'm saying gender is biological. Gender is a social contract, construct, so they're women if they think they are. But it's a tough time to be on a microphone. I think I'd get bored with a massive vagina. I mean, not just bored, but like... freaked out.
It would be freaky. Yeah.
Like, vagina. I love vaginas. Yeah. Absolutely. I started in one, and I hope I die in one. Like, I love a fanny, me. Yeah. I love it. I love it. All of it. I love everything about them. All the weird things about them and the taste. And it's brilliant. I love a fanny, but there's got to be a point where it's gross. Like I don't mind a big fanny, but not. I reckon over about, like, if the distance between perineum and clitoris is bigger than 15 centimeters, it's starting to get a bit more like a sort of barbecue, like a series of sort of meats.
Okay, what?
Like what a if? Sort of section of a butcher's shop?
What if? What if you entered the vagina woman, like, and got in and,
like,
and went
getting
far
into an
enough
elevator.
Back, you would enter kind of a Narnia kind of kingdom?
Well, then you have to get into the specifics of what's in the world behind the fanny. Yeah. Like, if behind the fannies there's a series of women with normal-sized fannies, then I'd be like, yeah, take me to the massive fanny.
Yeah.
It's so lovely to be back in England where fanny means fanny, not...
bum.
Yeah.
That would be weird if it was a massive American fanny, wouldn't it? A 6 foot anus.
Or bottom.
Yeah.
I've known a couple of 6 foot bottoms.
A 6 foot anus would be more worrying than a 6 foot bottom. I mean, at least your 6 foot bottom, you could.
A 6 foot bottom,
but
you
a massive 6 foot high. Trouser. I mean, would it be 6 foot wide as well? I suppose it would be.
Well, 6 foot. Maybe I don't 6 know. 6 foot diameter.
Yeah.
I could handle a 6 foot bottom more easily than a 6 foot vagina. By the way, the vagina is obviously the hole.
I mean, I said that for the
tube.
The vulva or.
Yeah, a 6 foot set of vulva.
If I say that, people don't know what I mean. It's
Right.
It's like the vagina monologues is very badly named, really, isn't it? Because it's not about.
No, it's not.
It's not about the vagina is not about the. It's about the entire.
Gear.
It's about everything.
It's about the.
It's like saying
it's not just about the window.
It's like saying I've got the vas deferens monologues. That would be weird, wouldn't it? Which is the tube that takes
it, or the urethra monologues.
Yeah.
Or if you called someone you think is a cock a urethra,
yeah,
you just get head-butted. You know, sometimes you should stop.
Sometimes you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I will ask this one. I remember because this is an emergency question that I can ask you. Because last time, I'm going to get onto some serious stuff in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
No, so I'm going to waste your time. I've flown you over from America at great expense. Last time you revealed that you were circumcised, didn't you?
Oh, I am circumcised.
Yeah,
you revealed that.
Still,
yeah.
Is that still the case?
Yeah.
Has it grown back?
No, I mean, every morning, but
so
no.
This is an emergency question I can ask you. When you masturbate, mm-hmm. do you start with away or towards?
Towards.
Towards,
yeah. I think so. First is a pull.
Yeah.
I mean, first, I think so. Inward?
Yeah. Well, I've got a foreskin.
Like, that's absurd.
Well, you don't have a foreskin. You've got nothing to guide you. Like with a foreskin, I think the question is about the weight you work with wherever the foreskin starts.
I can't remember from 4.5 years ago. I mean, usually I never forget whether a man has a foreskin or not. But
I do.
Do you have a foreskin?
I have a foreskin. Yeah.
Grotty.
I mean, it's
dirty.
It helps protect me if I'm running through brambles.
Yeah.
That is what it's there for.
Yeah.
Which I'm delighted about.
That's why I always carry a shield.
You've done a lot of stuff since the last Rahalastapa.
Thank you.
Which I'm not saying it's as a direct result of you having been on this show, but it seems
certainly
things seem to have gone up and up.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so I just
have a wine.
I'd like to. You were in. I'd like to talk about Jesus Christ Superstar. You and Jesus Christ Superstar as Judas.
Yeah, that was the best fun I ever had doing anything ever.
I bet. Well, I mean,
it's really hard to spend your whole life being ironic and then just do totally unironic Judas in a rock disco opera. Jesus Christ, I mean, it's fucking ridiculous.
I knew you'd like it.
Do you like Jesus Christ Superstar?
I don't. I'm not a massive fan of.
Musicals
or anyone who has anything to do with them.
No.
I mean,
fucking musicals.
Yeah, it's stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the figure of Jesus Christ. Judas is a very interesting figure, anyway, in history.
Do you know the musical?
Yeah, no.
It's a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah.
I genuinely, this is my favourite. Like, learning that I was allowed to do that role was, despite the fact that the last 15 years of my life have been a series of unbelievably things I wouldn't have dreamed of, that was the best thing. The dream come true was we needed seals dropped out. Seals dropped out, we need you to play Judas. I was like... It's like, because I used to sing it in my lounge room, you know, from beginning to end. It's fucking amazing. And it was, and it didn't let me down. It was brilliant. I loved it.
And as an atheist...
I'll do it all now for you. Shall I start?
Yeah, we can. Let's do it. As an atheist, it must have been good to play Judas, you know, because, you know, he killed...
Yeah, well, it's an atheist Jesus. Musical. Yeah. I mean, Rice and Lloyd Webber sort of decided somewhere in about 1972 that they shouldn't say that. But the premise of the musical is, what if God wasn't real and these people were people who believed God was real but was a socio-political movement? And what would that have been like for Judas? He obviously felt that Jesus was getting out of control. That's how the whole thing starts. He says, all your followers are blind. They have too much heaven on their minds. We're a political movement and you've gone all God on us. He goes, you know, and eventually Jesus doesn't listen to him. He tries and tries and tries, and Jesus is just getting a prostitute and, like, getting his feet rubbed with incredibly expensive oil, and he's like, you've lost your fucking way. And he goes and dobs on him and says, well, we've got to get this corrupt guy out of our movement. And then he feels so guilty because they beat him almost to death that he kills himself. It's a humanist tale. It's brilliant. I love it. Sorry.
It's a bit like your Angela Eagle and it's Jeremy
very,
Corbyn.
Very so
it's
similar.
Very, it's a
sort
very
of betrayal, yeah. Or Gove and who did he betray?
But I was thinking about Jews the other day. I mean, I think about him a lot. I like him. He's a good guy. But it sort of proves that the existence of Judas sort of proves that Jesus isn't a god, right? Because if you were one of the blokes who hung around with Jesus and saw him do all that stuff and you believed he was God,
you wouldn't
go, oh, 30 pieces of silver. You'd go, I'll wait. I'll play the long game on this one.
Yeah.
I'll wait for heaven and everything.
Yeah, because he's clearly miraculous.
Because he's God and everything. Because I know he's God, so I won't betray him.
There's this really... Oh, I'm going to get this all wrong because I'm tired and drinking. There's... Someone will know. There's a philosopher in... I'm going to make this up. In the 19th century, there's a guy who got into his head that Judas was truly the... So if you believe God's real, then Judas made a much, much, much bigger sacrifice than Jesus for this story, assuming God's all-powerful, all-knowing, blah, blah, blah. He needed his son to die for our sins, and therefore he needed Judas to betray him. So Judas and Jesus are similarly pawns in a story of a deity. And Jesus just had to get a few nails through his hands and go to sleep for a day and then wake up and, like, go, woo, and ascend into heaven for an eternity of... like bitches and weed or whatever's up there. And Judas, like, had all this torture and self-loathing and has spent eternity in hell. And
sent right at the centre of hell.
Yeah, and like sitting by Satan's, like, burning now. Right now he's down there, like, screaming and burning.
Yeah.
And this just hasn't even begun yet. Eternity's not even... I mean, it's hardly started. He's just getting into it. And it's 2,000 years. And so Judas is the saviour. And there was this philosopher who kind of went mad going around saying, Judas is... I think he killed himself. I just made all that up. But it's sort of...
It's true, though. It's
true. Judas should be the person we praise. He's the one who made the big sacrifice.
Yeah.
If we think somehow that dying for our sins was an important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it was, really.
I think dying for our sins and 30 pieces of silver is good. It's just like getting both. He gets a little something, we get a little something.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
I resent Jesus for dying for our sins because I wasn't going to do any sins, and now I feel I have to make his sacrifice.
To make it worth it, yeah.
Well, it's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
And especially poor Judas. I mean, yeah, we should be sinning our fucking asses off just to justify this mess. Total mess.
So, there was a little bit of controversy about Jesus Christ Superstar, and were you auto-tuned on the DVD, is that true?
Well, you know, I did a fucking podcast, right? So this guy who's a fan of musicals in New York said, will you come and talk to me? And I was tired and jet-lagged and said, oh, it's like it's... They auto-tune my voice. We were just, you know... I forget that a podcast might as well be the front page of a paper because all it needs is someone to take it, you know. And it's usually Steve. It's usually Chortle who published my address this week. You know, like, I mean, they're just doing the news, but they don't realise that I get death threats and people should know where my children live. Anyway, this little thing I said became like in front of the art page of the arts pages of a newspaper. They auto-tuned me because they rushed out the DVD and they just kind of did an auto-tune. Usually with auto-tune you do each phrase you adjust. And I'm a bad singer, but I'm not a particularly pitch problematic singer. I'm a tone problematic singer.
You're not a bad singer.
Well, so I said this thing and then it's the thing and I'm ringing Lloyd Webber, wrote to him going, this is, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have said that and blah, blah, blah. So I didn't give a shit, really. It was nice
now
to be in
tune. That will go out.
I don't give a shit. Mention doesn't give a shit about Lloyd Webber. Fucking...
Well, good. And you were in Californication, which was what you were just about to go off and do.
Oh, great. Yeah, that was fun. It was almost as good as Two Fists, One Heart.
Was it? Yeah.
That was great. I was naked all the time.
Yeah.
On the telly.
I've seen little clips of it. I never watched California. Oh, yeah. There were only little...
Did you like it? Didn't get my foreskin on it. Obviously. Didn't get my absence of a foreskin, but everything else is there.
I had a when you were masturbating as Atticus... I want Finch. To call it Fetch. I want to keep him Atticus Finch, but that's
yeah, of course, that's a yeah. slightly more serious character.
Did you go away or towards when you were?
I don't know if I actually character. Had a proper wank okay. on camera.
Did you not when you were method acting? Surely you got into character and thought, how will this character have a wank?
That's
the first.
Got kicked off set.
That's the first thing. When you were doing Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, did you not think Howard
Rosencrantz? That's my masturbate. Access to the character. Some people build shoes. I wonder how they wank. Howard Hamlet wank.
How would he wank? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all pretty much wank, isn't it?
Miserably.
Yeah. It's a self-indulgent wank. Is yeah, a,
like imagine
for ages.
That. Tired yet?
Tired for talking about wanky. I just had
somebody
so much
going
fun
short form.
Talking about prolapsed anuses last time. So you're this is interesting. I think that you talk about anti-intellectualism. I've seen you talking about this. The society is becoming kind of anti people who are clever, which I think yes. is a massive problem. Do you not? Because it's suddenly being clever is seen as a negative elite. Thing, and if you are an expert on something, you are dismissed yeah. for being an expert and say, no, we'll do what we think is best.
I think unless that turns around, we'll die.
Yeah.
You can't have that, but I understand why. It's so complicated. I'm obsessed by this subject because education is elite. Education is a privilege, right? So a sense of equality requires you... a sense of equality requires that you appreciate or respect, as democracy does, this vote and that vote are equal, whether that person has a PhD and that person can't read, as it should. That's how democracy works. I'm not suggesting that's wrong. Probably the only solution to this is communism, and that doesn't work. But it is elitist to favour the opinions of the educated, in the broader sense of the word elitist, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because to be highly educated is privileged, hugely privileged. However, what has been the case, I think, in the past, is that trying to not say something stupid, because I'm tired. What has been the case is you go, education is a privilege to which we should all aspire. And we should create a social structure that allows us to educate our poor. And if you have a community, a society that educates its poor, you're in good. And America over the last 30 years has not done a very good job of that. And then, so you have a lot of problems. If you don't educate your poor, you have social problems because you have no movement between classes or whatever. But it's always been the case that the poor have aspired to education. So although it's elitist to say being highly educated privileges you in your opinion, it has to be the case. And it has to be the case that people with higher education get more respect for the areas in which they're educated, not across the board, not tax breaks, not more adoration, just privileged voice in the areas in which they are expert. And there is such fucking thing, because if we're to say there isn't, you're fucked, because there's no point reading a fucking book ever. If the people who have read the most books aren't privileged in their voice, we're in big, big, big trouble. And it feels to me like the democratisation of information via the internet and stuff, and the fact that it's very hard to curate information, it's very hard to figure out what good sources are compared to bad sources. It's very hard for a punter, any of us, to go, that's a good source and that's a bad source, given the Google worm favours hits, not verifiability or empirical, whatever, although they're trying to do that. And so if you don't know what information's good's bad, you can't tell from the internet whether Reiki is any better than chemotherapy, or a vaccine is any better than no vaccine, or Donald Trump is any better than Obama. I know they're not against each other, but you'd swear, reading the internet, that they're equal intellects. Then you're fucked. We're fucked.
Yeah. It does feel like...
That's the short answer.
It does feel like we are fucked, though.
Yeah, you have to privilege education. Yeah, you have to privilege education. So when we wrote Matilda, a couple of reviewers, not many, but a couple of reviewers were like, well, I have microwave dinners and prefer telly to books. What am I... why is this show judging me? It's elitist, like Roald Dahl was, which, you know, he was a snob. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, if you have microwave dinners and watch game shows instead of reading books, you are less. You're educated. You should read a book. I am being elitist. It is better to read a book about something than watch The Bachelor. It is better. Objectively better for society, for you, for your family and loved ones. It is better that you read a book than watch The Bachelor. Don't never watch The Bachelor. But that's my judgment. If you feel like I'm judging you for that, that's correct. I'm judging you for that. And I understand that that is a privilege. I understand that that is a huge privilege that most people in the world don't get given books, just like most people in the world get given religion. It is a huge privilege to have not been brainwashed as a child. It's a privilege. I do understand that. However, I must be allowed to say religion's wrong because it is. So we can't keep saying... what do we do? Like, I swear to you I'm a pretty socialist dude. I mean, I really, really believe that all these rich cunts should pay all their tax and that we should give to charity and we must educate the poor. And I believe I put my money where my mouth is. But you can't not privilege the voices of the educated.
Well, the danger is we're sort of created a society up here as well, I think, where education isn't given enough money and, you know, you're not educating people.
Without socialism, you can't do it. You can't even do the experiment.
And I saw something, I think Jon Snow retweeted Rupert Murdoch complaining that Twitter was full of people who were arguing on a very base level and didn't have any facts or something, basically that, you know, and Jon Snow saying, well, you reap what you sow, more or less, you know. Yeah. But they've created this situation where people are educated through tabloid newspapers.
I'm so sorry for Murdoch. He's our fault.
It is, but... But,
it's,
you know, brutal. But it's going to surely... I just think with all these things, with you cut... you and it, essentially, Brexit's, I think, about this. It's about the mass of people being disgruntled with politics and thinking, yeah, we've punched them in the face, not realising they've kind of...
themselves.
But it's kind of followed through, yeah, and punched
but
them.
But I'm trying to read... I'm really trying to read... because this... I'll try and not be so boring, but so social media is a confirmation bias machine, right? You follow the people you follow and you get more and more of the thing and you follow more of them and you follow more of them and you get... So if you believe guns are a good idea, you follow people who think... And we have false dichotomies are the way of the world. That's why votes keep getting split so radically down the middle, like... Australia's hung parliament, Britain's Brexit's basically 50-50, you know, fuck knows what's going to happen to America. But I know that doesn't make sense mathematically, that's actually bullshit. But there does seem to be this sort of dichotizing, this split down the middle, because the way we consume news now just pushes us further and further into our own opinions. So I'm trying to not do that for fuckload good that'll do, but and what am I going to do? Put it into my children's musical? But I'm trying to read other stuff, and I'm trying to understand that the Brexit vote was a cry, and it's all true. That's true, but underneath it all is this Govian bullshit that we're sick of experts, and that it's okay to be sick of experts. So the question is, are we sick of experts for a reason? What have our experts done wrong? I mean, they get it wrong all the time, which isn't, you know, it's like science, right? You get shit wrong all the time, but that doesn't mean it's not the right process. It just means it's a slow process towards getting the right answer.
Yeah.
You've got to let your experts make mistakes and still acknowledge that they know more than you do.
Yeah.
And Europe's fucked, and I don't know.
But then, I mean, you tweeted before the Brexit by the end of the year, Britain would still be in Europe, Donald Trump wouldn't be the president, and Hillary would be the president, and there'd be gay marriage in Australia.
Yeah, I had this moment where I thought, we're all fucking hysterical all the time. What's going to happen is Britain will stay in Europe, Trump won't become, you know, Hillary will become president, and gay marriage will pass in Australia, because they were the things that, because I live in three continents, so I fucking walk into the screams of these, it's terrible. And I'm zero from one. But Britain will still be in Europe by the end of the year, and it probably, for all intents and purposes, it's going to stay there. It's bullshit. They're not.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing's a complete fucking dicking fuck up. It's literally Cameron. Cameron was in Brussels and made a comment, and the media took off, and he had to say something. So he said, "I'll have a red." Like, it's a farce. You don't give your population a vote on something that not even the fucking experts really understand. I went online and went, why did we vote on this? No one fucking knows what they were voting for, and everyone's like, snob. And I'm like, no, me, all of us. None of us fucking understood it.
Yeah.
We vote in governments to consult experts to make those decisions for us. I can write a song. You can do whatever the fuck you do. These cunts all have jobs, and they're good at their jobs, some of them. These guys stalk me. We all have our expertise.
Yeah.
Don't ask me whether we should leave Europe or not, you fuck knuckles. Furious. Anyway.
But is Trump going to win now? Do you change your mind? You got the other one wrong.
He can't win. You can't. I mean, surely. But it is the same question. Oh, yes, she's read lots more books, but who cares?
Yeah.
This guy sounds so stupid.
He says stupid things, and nothing can harm him. In fact, the stupider the better. It's almost like, oh, he said something really stupid this time. Good, I'm going to vote for him more.
I'm
going to vote for him twice now.
Well, it's because people like, you know what we need as president? Someone like me. Well, I want a president I can't understand. You know, I want a president who's so fucking smart, I don't know what he's on about. Like, who's got PhDs out the wazoo, and he's like going, oh, the economics. I want a president I cannot fucking comprehend the intellect of.
Yeah.
I'll vote for that fucker. Not the person who sounds like my drunk uncle, you know. Like, well, who votes for that person? It's just so stupid.
So anyway, we'll move on from the depressing real world. I'll do Dirty Brit confessions for you.
Oh, great.
The people who wrote them might be in the audience today. So,
explain to me.
This is a website where comedy fans anonymously reveal their sexual fantasies about comedians. Usually British comedians, but there is an international section in which you feature.
Well, am I not British?
Well, no, you're not. You're international.
Okay, great.
I know you were born in Northampton, but
what
get out of here.
Ever. Yeah. I'm British when it suits me to have a loud opinion about something.
This is one. There are disturbingly few pictures of Tim Minchin that I haven't masturbated over.
Is that a dude or a Sheila?
We don't know.
I wonder whether they started down or up or forward.
I did too.
Where do you
start?
The thing
that gets me about it, I mean, there are still some, but there are some photos of you out there that they can't masturbate. They've tried and gone, no.
Oh, not that one.
Which?
What about the one? I did a sort of rapist murderer character recently in Australia.
Yes.
I wonder. I mean,
Smasher Sullivan, was that the Smasher?
Smasher, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd wank to that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they might have done. Well, it depends what they've done. Okay, and here's another one. I'll see if we can. This has a slightly religious bent, but not really. Dear Santa, please bring me a delightfully buzzed on champagne Tim Minchin who snuggles me and drops kisses on my neck before hiking up my skirt and shagging me senseless under the Christmas tree. Now, I think my issue with that is, I mean, you famously like to spend Christmas with your family. I mean, that's what's wrong with that. About what if your daughter's been 10,000 miles from home and comes home and finds you having sex with this person
on the internet?
Yeah. It's going to ruin the...
I don't know. The kids these days have seen everything, haven't they? She probably saw it on Minecraft. Yeah. That's lovely. That's lovely.
Is that lovely?
I love the thought that people want to have sex with me. I mean, I'm... from, like, within 2 metres, I'm grotesque. Yeah. It's brilliant.
It is. I mean, that's the only thing I think about being an older, now married man, is I would just like women to still fancy me, but they don't anymore. They just don't.
Women
I don't get. I used to get people, you know, Facebooking me and telling me they wanted to have sex with me. It was
great. You were super handsome when you were young. You're still handsome, but when he was young, have you seen photos of... I mean, I guess you probably all watched him, but I wasn't in the country when you were hot.
No.
It's
gone.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt that one of the great joys of this job is that, like, people who wouldn't have been desired get to be desired. I mean, that's why you do it, right? That's why you learn piano, is so that you can get girls that you wouldn't have got.
It was I had to because my mum made me. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like
playing
the piano.
Did she make you do this too, Richard?
It's podcast night. Mum, I don't want to...
Get Tim Minchin on.
And he goes on and on.
Ask him some awkward questions about foreskins and then make him talk about international politics for a bit.
I don't
so
want
people
to.
Forget that and then go back to talking about cocks again. That's what my mum said.
Oh, I'd love to have sex with strangers under a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
There's other good stuff, you know.
What about...
There's repetition.
Aren't you worried about the needles getting in your bum?
Is it a smack addict?
Look off the tree. You have to be... Oh,
the tree's a smack addict?
The tree, you have needles. Now you're in Hollywood. Oh, I've got trees that don't shed their needles now.
Trees are plastic. They're Botoxed up so they're not sharp. So who else wants to have sex?
That was it.
What other horrible people?
There were some
two.
More. There were
two.
There were some more. I picked
two better than
mildly
none.
Amusing ones. Can we talk about Cardinal Pell? Is that that sort of?
Oh, that was fun.
That was interesting.
Now, these guys wouldn't necessarily know about.
But we can talk about you. You haven't been doing many new songs.
Because
of your acting career and
musicals. Really? Yeah. You love musicals.
I do love them. I genuinely. Matilda was just one of the most fun times I've had at the theatre ever in any kind of theatre. I was wanking. I'm turned on by children dancing.
Trunchbull.
And men dresses with me, yeah. But it's brilliant. It was an amazing show.
Thanks. Appreciate that. So I don't write comedy songs. Well, I'm back writing for theatre, which is where it all comes from. And but this dickhead. This guy in Australia who I don't respect, who's the highest ranking Catholic in Australia, he's just being a knobber, you know, kind of like the Boston guy he took off to the Vatican as this big royal commission into institutional abuse was happening, and he went and got a job in the Vatican, and like I know that other like most Catholic bishops hate him, like he's not, I don't think he's a good guy,
right?
So my starting point is he's a Catholic cardinal who walks around in silks and says gays are not equal and women shouldn't be allowed to get abortions and all the shit, you know, Africans should just get AIDS, you know, I'm sorry if I'm being ignorant about something, but pretty much that's how I read it, you know. If you say you shouldn't use contraception, you're basically a murderer. And so I'm admitting my base level is pretty stridently anti that stuff, but this punk, the Royal Commission told him to fly back, and he said he was too sick to come back. He got a doctor's certificate from within the Vatican, and he's just not. He's just fucking not. He's wandering around. He's sorting out the finances of this incredibly wealthy real estate scam they call the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church is like. It's not far off. No, that's not true. They do amazing stuff, but a lot of it's just buying real estate. And he's got all this money that he has to sort out, and it's a huge high-pressure job, and he's wandering around the Vatican eating burgers and drinking beers and saying he can't come back to look in the eye the people he got raped as children. I mean, I couldn't be more disgusted. So I wrote a really funny pop song, and it helped raise a lot of money for the survivors of sexual assault to fly to the Vatican and watch him do the commission by video link. Yeah. So they all sat in the room and looked at him. It's brilliant. It's the most incredible piece of... I was a part of something other people organised, but nothing I've ever done has had anywhere near just immediate, proper impact, positive impact. I got letters and letters and letters from people saying, we feel heard for the first time in our lives.
Sure.
And that's not... It sounds self-crediting. What I mean is I walked into something where people desperately needed someone to say, this is fucked! In a way that could go on mainstream radio.
Yes. Well, it's good.
I'm actually super proud of it, so I'm not being falsely humble.
It's on YouTube, obviously, so don't go on. It's a very funny song about child abuse, you know, so
it's just really sarcastic song about how we're sorry you're sick, but you should, you know, like, you should come home.
But as always, it's
really fun. And it's the only time I've ever had a song on mainstream radio because my mum said, just take that one swear word out. And so I went, okay, mum. And now it's good. Yeah, it's good.
Let's talk about Groundhog Day. I bet everyone does the joke of asking you about Groundhog Day. I'm not going to do it. I was going to ask, make you talk and then go, and let's talk about Groundhog Day. But I'm not going to do it because I've got too much class.
You're very classy.
I've got too much class.
How's this?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Going, by the way,
it's good. It's really good. I think it's an excellent one. But
is it okay?
The audience may disagree. They seem to be listening when you're being serious and laughing when you're being funny.
Well,
that seems good to me. But we did this last time. Who's having a terrible time here? So, and just cheer if it's you, or just go. You know, they're brave,
wouldn't it, to go, I don't like this. It'd be huge.
Who thinks it's a mediocre podcast, Jim?
Come on, pussies. You are out there going...
Last time I gave them just the choice, it's the best podcast ever. So who thinks it's not the best podcast ever, but it's all right?
Yeah. Oh, bless. Fuck you!
Who thinks it's, you know, we should carry on a bit longer? Have you broken the chair?
I promise we'll be gone soon.
Yeah, well, I don't think we've been done that long yet. I might be wrong. Have we done that long?
No.
Just feels like it from up here. Well, I'm very excited because I really love Matilda. I'll tell you what was brilliant about Matilda. I saw a very early version of it, and what aside from it, I've got the soundtrack and everything. It's the only soundtrack of a musical
it's
I
not
listen
called
to.
A soundtrack when it's a musical. Well, anyway, yeah.
I got the record.
The record.
I've got the LP.
Got
the record, I play in my car on
got an EP,
and it's brilliant. But what was really impressive, as well as everything else, was because I saw an early performance. The whole stage broke down halfway through.
Oh, amazing!
And the desk didn't come up when they were meant
brilliant.
To. And they had to stop the performance in the middle of this very exuberant. Fantastic song, and all these kids had to go off while they mended the stage, and everyone's like, oh no, this is terrible, this is going to ruin the thing.
They come back
and they came back in and they came back bang on it. It was just the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Amazing, those kids, man.
They'd be about 30 years old now, those children. But it's a long
totally
time ago.
There's kids that have just gone into the show in Toronto who were born when I was writing it. It's so amazing. It's just amazing. I mean, it's like I bought a house.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing, emotionally amazing.
Yeah. But Groundhog Day, I think we made in the last podcast, we made lots of jokes about what film you could turn into a musical. Turner and Hooch and Chuck and Larry. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, which we got the
did
name.
Did we talk
of.
About that?
We did,
time.
But then you've taken Groundhog Day, which is better than I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. So well, if you were going to choose
subjective,
one,
isn't
but
it?
If it had been, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, I would want 50% of the
you would, I mean, you would get a hug.
Because it was my idea to copy that. But you had the idea, after copying Matilda, you had the idea of copying...
copying Granada. But not only is it copying, it's not even an adaptation from a book, it's an adaptation from a two-hour thing into a two-hour thing.
Yeah.
So it's proper copper.
But I love Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day is generally one of my top 10 comedy films,
yeah.
easily, probably top
yeah.
five.
Yeah.
And so I'm very excited to see you come.
Yeah, it's
to
dangerous,
it.
Though, isn't yeah. it? Because of all you nerds who are like, it's one of my favourite films. And I'm absolutely sure of the people who love the film, how many would do you think would want to come to the musical and how many would go, fuck you, don't dirty my sacred art?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd say probably it'd tilt towards the latter. But if you love the film because you just think it's an awesome concept and you're intrigued by how it could be reinterpreted, then you'd come. But if you think it's a sacred piece of... You
yeah,
know,
I mean, I don't... You're not... If you put, a woman in as Bill Murray, you'd be in trouble. But it's...
I've got a lyric. I've got a tip of the hat to... there's a lyric in the musical that where he's fantasizing about the day he wished he got trapped in, where he goes, he's talking about this girl, he had this great day. We made love in the sand, and then when we were through, we went back to her room and watched Ghostbusters 2. So I've got a little Harold Ramis, Bill Murray tip of the hat.
Lovely.
But my main aim with the musical is to make people walk in and go, I'm thinking about Bill Murray, I'm thinking about Bill, and then the minute it starts, never think of him again. And
yeah.
It kind of does that because it's incredibly complicated.
Yeah,
it's a very hard thing to make because the film relies on two major things. One is putting the camera here. Sorry, it's a podcast. Putting the camera putting the camera in a Bill Murray close up and letting him be Bill Murray. It relies heavily on that. Or in a mid, you know, like, and it's brilliant for that, just letting him be Bill Murray. And the other thing it relies on is cuts, montage. And so when you try and put that on stage, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
but I love so much the construct, the premise, and it feels so much to me like a piece of theatre, a guy trapped in a world, in a confined world. Because Groundhog Day is in a snow globe, right?
Mm.
It's basically a snow globe.
Yeah.
It's almost Truman Show, you know?
Yeah.
He's in a dome, a metaphysical dome. And that's theatre, right? That's how you write it. That's how you start with a play. How do you get two idiots stuck on a stage they can't escape from? you know? It's brilliant. And it's Godot and it's Rosencrantz, Guildenstern are dead. It's got that. It's brilliant. I just love it. And
What I'd have done to
yeah.
get over
oh,
the,
good, good.
Yeah, is just let him live the day all the way through and then end.
Just one
day, yeah, just has Groundhog Day.
And he wakes up the next day.
That was a nice Groundhog Day.
It's much
day.
Easier. Oh, yeah. Good, fuck. Should have thought of
don't
that.
Don't have to worry about all the other
so
stuff.
So much easier.
Yeah.
But we've done two performances after yeah. 4.5 years. I'm sitting here now having had two audiences and... I can't tell you how different my life is today than it was on Thursday last week.
Right.
I mean, I was like... And I'm just not a very stressed guy. I'm not susceptible to... I'm reasonably laid back, but my guts were just, like, knotted for weeks. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Because it just all comes to a head. And there's no innocence anymore because of Matilda and various bits and pieces. It's like... You don't even know what successful means anymore. And because of Matilda, people are invested in it up the wazoo. And, you know, yeah. it's like...
Well,
by the way, I've worked for 4 years on it without getting paid a dime. I mean, it's all gamble.
Yeah.
And so we had this audience in on Friday and it's pretty incredible, really. Like, it's not ready and it's not perfect, of course. But it works, I think. Is anyone there?
Yeah.
Does it work? You have to say yes. Oh, it's not
who
busy.
Thought it was really
who thought it was shit who thought it was worse than a Richard Herring podcast
No, it's,
who preferred think, Matilda to yeah. Grand
Opening? Don't you
That's the
dare.
Real question.
What you know once you put it in front of an audience is whether it's fundamentally broken or not.
Yeah.
That's all you can tell. And the anxiety is maybe this is fundamentally broken and we're all mad. And then it's you put it in front of an audience. I don't think it's fundamentally
no,
broken.
No, good. Well, I'm glad. I'm sure it isn't. But it's such a complicated thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's lots and lots of people involved. And it's not just you putting it together.
No.
But it's so complex to even just write. If you're just writing a play or whatever, but to have all
it's
music.
Huge. And there's, I mean, it's a properly, technically, the most complicated piece of theatre I've ever seen. You know, there's revolves within revolves and magic, like... Magic up the fucking wazoo.
I think people, you know, I love Grand Old Day and I don't, you know, I wouldn't care if you completely changed it, did something different. It's just, you know, I think it's, you know, I think you would want to see that.
And if you go see it, I promise, if you don't like it, I'll pay you back.
Okay.
Not you, cunts.
Could you?
Maybe this room. I'm pretty confident.
Like it, will you promise us to shut down the production forever?
The herring claws. it's so full on. But and now I've got a month of previews, and so I was in there for 12 hours today, just going. We need an extra bar there. That's too rushed, and it's brilliant. Actually, I love that. I love this bit.
Yeah,
it's like putting. The last, it's not even the last, putting the final bits of paint on it. It's brilliant.
Do you keep working on the, like, if you go and see Matilda now, would you go and go, we'll change that?
Well, someone's performance, I think, can be helped, but no. I mean, once it's on, and you could have regrets, but I don't watch it with that in. I never go, I wish I'd written that differently. It's you have to accept, like watching your old stand-up DVDs, which I know you do every weekend. You got to just go, that was where I was at and that was my offer, and now I'm, you know, you can't do that.
It's similarly complicated writing a...
to these podcasts. Same amount of work.
What cock joke to ask about. It's great. Is there going to be a film version of Matilda? I kind of think I'd heard...
Matilda the Musical?
Yeah, the
movie.
Musical, yeah.
It's very good. Look, I mean, it's weird, right? Because we're fucking old and shit. see, education. you too can say words like "we're fucking old and shit." There was just a Matilda movie. You can't have another one. It's 20 years, you know. It's 20 years, so you can actually do another Matilda movie now. And this one's going to have songs. And a broken desk. It's going to be brilliant. We're putting that, because you loved it. We're putting it in, it in the film. The whole movie just... Wow. Be brilliant.
Brilliant.
It's too late.
Oh, it's so nice seeing you again. It's a shame.
What you say when you think the podcast isn't going very well.
No, it isn't. It's such a shame that I only see you on, you know, every 4 years in the podcast. But let's do this again in 4 years' time. Because I hope your career will have gone really badly, and then and mine will have gone up a bit, and then I can
be brilliant.
Oh yeah, I
you
wrote
can be like condescendingly, sorrowful.
Like, I remember, you know, it doesn't matter. Groundhog Day didn't work out. Just remember,
no, you can't.
When you were,
that makes me feel like vomiting in my wine. It'll be alright. I mean, all you can do is like it yourself. Can't you?
Yeah. Well,
you can't make other people like
you
what
can't
you like.
Believe me, I
it's
know
like
that.
Your cock, isn't it? You've done all right, Dickie.
It's been all
You're
right.
You're doing all right, yeah.
I'd rather be in Hollywood pretending to be jagging loads of people in a David
under
with,
a Christmas tree
with Fox Mulder. That's what I'd prefer to be doing.
Is that his name, Fox Mulder?
In the X Files.
Is that what his character's name was?
Yeah. I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a brilliant guy, that Duchovny. He's a good guy.
He is. Did you? If I was in it in Californication with him, I'd just keep talking about Eugene Tombs to him all the time.
Is that a
reference
the
guy
to the
who,
sci-fi?
Yeah,
thing?
The guy who could crawl into tiny spaces, and then he lived in a. So he could. He was
is
in the air vent,
X-Files?
And he could. Yeah, he crept out. So, and then I'd talk about Larry Sanders to him for a bit as well.
This is the beginning of the reason you're not in that show. It's just a hint.
That's what I do in the audition. I go into audition and go,
hello.
Oh, is David Duchovny's Fox Mulder in this one?
Oh,
well, I'm in it. I'm going to talk. I'll do the audition in a second. Can't wait to talk to him. What was it like being in the X-Files? That's what I'm going to ask him. Do you
he
believe
was teaching
in
himself
alien?
Guitar when I...
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he was obsessed by teaching himself guitar.
Yeah.
He's a self-improver.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Well, when you do a sort of sitcom about sex for 7 years, you've got to have a hobby, right?
He's very funny. He's really funny.
Larry
Sanders is amazing. This year has been so fucking terrible in so many ways. I keep forgetting that Gary Shandling has died. I keep and that was one of the worst things that happened this year. Yeah. And I keep forgetting, and then I go, oh my God, no. It's fucking
in the
horrible.
Long term, I think Brexit's worse. But it's,
no, I don't think it is.
Gary's a lovely guy.
I don't think it is worse. That's the worst one for me. And there's been some very bad ones.
Do you know him?
No, I don't know anyone.
Russell fucking Kane.
I do now. I've met him on here. No, I knew him a bit before. I know you.
You knew him before he was Russell Kane.
I did. Well, yeah, he is. If that is his real name, it isn't. Would you use nuclear weapons if you were in charge of nuclear weapons? I think I know the answer to this. But let's see. If someone had been really bad, well, and you could fire one just at their head and it would really explode.
I actually think, and this is where it gets psychopathic. If you're a leader, you have to be led by evidence, right? So, for example, the example I use is the death penalty. If the death penalty evidentially did a net good for the most number of people. So if we had proof, like we do on some indigenous societies on islands, that if someone kills someone, killing them back is actually good for that society. So in our society, if we went, killing someone makes the family of the victim happier, and that you can have a 99.99% success rate in guilt, in your assessment of their guilt. And, you know, if the evidence said...
Just check
this fucking watch. Fair enough, too. I'm super boring about this. But so
didn't think you were looking.
I would use nuclear weapons in particular circumstances.
Yeah.
The circumstance would have to be something like, there's an island of rapists. And in fact, except I don't believe in free will, so I don't believe it's their fault that they're rapists. But if you could prove that that if they got off the island, they would create a society of other, paedophilic rapists. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you just need the evidence. And I suspect there would never be a case for it. So, no.
What if...
Theoretically, yes. Practically,
what
I
if
doubt
aliens
it.
Were hovering over in a big spaceship and bad, the only way to get them
bad
was
aliens,
to send in...
aliens?
Yeah, they're really bad. They're trying to destroy the world. And if you fire a nuclear missile right up in the middle... then it'll...
Dude, write this shit down. It's brilliant. Call Michael Bay. I would nuke the aliens if they were definitely bad.
Yeah.
It'd be a pity, right?
What if 60% of the aliens on the ship were bad, but 40% were quite nice? We're trying to talk the other aliens out of what they would do. The other aliens go, no, look, we voted, and 52% of us said destroy the world. They're going, no, but that guy's got a nuclear bomb. He's going to blow us up. We have made the vote. The vote has to stand, whatever happened. What would you do then? This is an allegory.
I think that's an inaccurate allegory because only 35% of Brits voted to leave.
Yeah. On the spaceship. It's just the ones who voted.
Actually, we didn't vote to leave, by the way.
What?
Because you have to assume that the people who didn't go to the polling booths are like, eh. So the people who didn't go to the polling booths are like, eh, which means they're apathetic, which means they don't want change. But by definition, if you go, eh, it means you're happy with the way it is. So actually, we thrashed them. You've got to count the apathetic if you're not... If the vote is, do you want to fucking fuck everything up? And there's like 35% go, yeah! And for whatever, other 33% go, no! And a whole lot go, eh. That means no, don't fuck everything up. Count the apathetic as don't change it.
Yeah.
That's what apathy means, right? Don't initiate.
You seem to turn this into Brexit, and it's very much about aliens.
So, I think it would be very difficult to nuke those aliens, but... Oh, it's a tough one. See, this is why you can't say no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be tough. You might be better off killing all the aliens and then just dying evil if that's what society assessed you as. It's tough, yeah. And also an alien race. So our notion of conscious, the reason we kill cows but not people is we see other people and we're like, their consciousness is like ours, so they suffer grief and pain. But with cows, we're like, oh, they're just like moo. So we kill them. We kill them on the assumption that because they don't have a similar sort of form of discourse or whatever, that they're not as conscious or whatever as us. And so these aliens, assuming they have a different language and shit, you'd sort of go, oh, it's a bit like cows, isn't it? So it's hard.
They've got a big spaceship, decision. Though.
I want to talk about this for another hour. Well, what do you guys reckon? Let's vote. Let's not.
All right, I'll ask you some emergency questions I've stolen from the internet.
What's the time so I know, too?
It's about 10. We go until about 10:15 usually.
No, we got to. These people are fucking over it. Come on. I mean, you're being amazing and patient, and I'm very grateful. But I imagine I would be over it. You know.
Yeah. They can go.
They can go, can't they? Yeah. Let's keep talking.
Okay. I think when they hear the next question, those waivers will be all.
They'll be like, oh,
I'm on the edge of my
it's
seat.
It's another cop question.
I'll ask the question and then we'll end the.
I like the fanny bit. We should have stopped after that. The massive fanny.
That was very early on.
Because I'm quite sort of data-based in the way I think about the world, I'm quite analytical. I'm very aware that I'm like 20% entertaining. So it's like the odds on you getting another proper laugh are slim. Anyway. Yeah.
No, honestly, it goes through a little lull. And we did deliberately talk about some serious things, like the alien thing I talked about. It was very, very serious. And then
that's
it's going to go,
really,
it's going
to question, though. Thank that's you. An amazing question.
Thank you. I wish
that
I'd written
alien
it down.
Question. It's tough.
It is.
I want to dig into it, but let's talk.
I'll ask that to other people. It's not going to be caught. Have you ever flown a kite? Let's end the podcast now. And all these people are going to go, what? I have to find out. Why have you ended it?
Have I ever flown a kite?
Yeah, a kite. A kite, not a cunt. A
kite. No, kite. Yeah. Kite.
Have you ever taken off someone's... Yeah. It would work
huge.
If you... you get the airflow right, you could keep get that airborne.
You can't say cunt in America.
No.
You can say kite, though.
Okay, kite.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
I had a stunt kite in my teens that I absolutely... cunt stat. No, it's a stunt kite.
I hope Russell Kane is listening to this.
Has he never flown a kite?
He was just like, that's a... who can that? What kind of question is that? And I got loads of stuff out of him with it. It's a brilliant question, but yeah, this is exciting.
He had a funny childhood, though, right?
He did, yeah.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, had the sort of childhood where you get a stunt cut. And I'd like, oh, it's brilliant. Loved it. I spent a lot of time with a kite.
Yeah. And I bet in Australia it's the sky's bigger and stuff, isn't it? So there's more place to put it because the sky is so big.
Yeah, I mean, you do get a sense that the sky is bigger in Australia, but not at the sort of level of string length.
Okay.
It's more like the length of string I had on my kite would have been fine in England. It wouldn't have hit the top of the snow globe.
Yeah. But you could have been, a pterodactyl could have come down and eaten.
No, they're extinct, bro.
Oh, are they? Even Australia.
Oh, yeah, we are a bit behind. Don't have gay marriage, do have pterodactyls. Sometimes it's good being old-fashioned. Lots of gay pterodactyls, though.
I didn't ask you many emergency questions.
Ask me more, because
I didn't,
you should
have,
because
one.
I got boring seven.
Have you ever tried sushi?
Should I just give you a yes or no on that one?
Yeah.
No, yes. Yeah, I've really got into it recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
nice,
recently.
Isn't it? It's nice.
Like, do you mean like raw fish on stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a new thing.
Yeah.
It's just
did you write these questions down like 18 years ago when you thought, one day I'll have something called a podcast?
I didn't write that one down. Marshall Jones Jr. wrote that one down.
What an idiot.
He had 100 questions. That's one of 100 questions to ask people.
Have you?
Yeah, have you ever tried sushi? It's either yes or, well, no.
Yeah.
And then you go...
Have you flown a kite? I remember when we didn't have avocado. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
In Australia, there was definitely a time when there wasn't avocado.
Even in Australia, I would imagine that was they had them all over. in Australia all the time.
It's like one of those foods that we didn't have. And no, then we had it and posh people had it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember when yuppie was a word.
Yeah.
Well, back then it was like yuppies had avocado in Australia. Yeah. Fucking yuppie with your avocado. Was that a, was there ever a time when you guys didn't have avocado?
I remember avocado because it came in when I was about... Because it was, I remember being feeling sophisticated because my mum would make a balsamic vinegar kind of...
Totally balsamic didn't come in.
I don't know. It might not have been balsamic, but she made like a vinaigrette maybe that went in the middle.
The English was super not posh.
And it was really... like, and I was very fussy as a kid eating, so I must have been like 14 or 15 when avocados came over because I ate it. It was nice. And then the little vinaigrette.
We got Thai in the late 80s as well.
Thai?
Thai food. We didn't get Thai before that.
We didn't really have Thai until... Yeah, maybe. There was a Chinese takeaway. You used to get spring rolls. I mean, that's not really the same. I don't know why I even mentioned it.
Close enough. In it. We're out. We're fucking out.
The man who served the spring rolls at the Chinese takeaway could take his eyelids and turn his eyelids inside out. He'd sometimes
Holy
do that.
Holy shit.
He sometimes
Is that a
that.
Correlate? Is that something... Are most people who do spring rolls also these?
I don't know. I think
it was one for you.
I think it was an unusual thing. It was either him or a tuk-tuk driver in Thailand. I forget now. So,
And that's the end of the racist section. Moving on to sexes.
It was him. I'll ask you this. I haven't asked this one for a little while.
Okay, great.
Kettle crisps are not as nice as they once were. Well, hold on. Have I changed or have they? It's a rhetorical question. I don't want your answer. If you could travel in time to compare any food of today with the food of the past, what time would you travel to and what food would you go and taste? You can take the food from the present day with you to see if it's the same. Or if it's...
It's tough to have one right at your fingertips.
It is, yeah. That's why.
So you get a food from now,
yeah,
and you think, oh, I'm going to go back to Elizabethan times. Yeah, see if that food's very different.
Yeah, or it could be just with kettle crisps. It's like 6 years ago.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'd take a kettle crisp back and go, yes.
Well,
they're not the same. Or they are the same. It's me that's changed.
Right,
but that's the only way.
There's no other way to know. There's no other
gonna
way.
I'm going to have to have a deep think about my life, the way I've used to like these, and now I don't like them. What's become of
what's
me?
What's about?
But if they're different, then I just. Yeah!
I'm
yes!
consistent. I want this to happen. I mean, if there's any real. If there is in the universe a reason for time travel, this is it, I think.
Yeah.
You're I would get an egg. That's used by dates today.
Yeah.
And I go to yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'd see if it's like a problem.
Yeah.
Because I'm religious about it, so I'm like, it's huge, poosh. That's shit, right?
Yeah.
I should sniff it. But time travel would be quicker than I sniff it.
Yeah, good way. I had some fish pie mix that was 2 days past its sell by date the other day.
Hold on. Fish pie mix?
Yeah, fish pie mix.
What does that even mean?
Well, it's like fish you put in a fish pie.
It's a fish pie mix?
Yeah, fish pie mix. You get a little packet of different fish, then you put it in a fish pie. I didn't bother putting it in a fish pie. My wife said, I'm not going to do it, I'm too tired. And I said, well, I don't want to do it either. So what I did is I got the fish pie mix and just fried it up, and then I got some potatoes and made them. Then I just stuck it together.
That guy is leaving. Because what you're talking about is stupid, Richard. I don't know what a fish pie mix is. I'm with that guy. You're lucky I didn't fucking walk out. I've never heard of a fish pie
He'll
mix.
He'll be back.
Yeah,
he'll be back.
I don't know.
It's some fish. It's basically some fish. Some chopped up different fish.
With some...
No, well, you do that yourself.
So it's just some fish.
Yeah. But it was 2 days past his sell-by date.
But what designate? How do you distinguish fish pie mix from some fish?
Because it says fish pie mix on the package.
Ah, it's a package of fish. Okay, no, that's totally fine.
Someone has said this will make a nice fish pie. This mixture of a bit of salmon,
this pile of fish,
salmon,
put that in a fucking pie, wouldn't you? Oh yeah, let's put that on the label.
Yeah.
But give it a use by day, it might go off. And time travel's not quite been invented yet, so there's nothing we can do about it.
I've got a lot of time travel questions you don't want to get.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, I haven't asked this much this series either. We briefly touched upon it in the intro. But do you think having sex with a robot would count as cheating against your wife? No, it wouldn't, would it? That's right. Can you come and tell my wife that? Because coming from you, I think she would.
So do you fuck a robot?
No,
did
but
you
I want.
Get busted fucking your robot.
I want to. Well, I've just been.
You just switched it off then. No, it was always off.
I've been filming As It Occurs to Me this week, and I filmed the first sketch in which I was having sex with a toaster in the first sketch. But my wife didn't come in, so she didn't see me do it.
Oh, I love your wife.
And then she has had some toast. It was my toaster. And I realised once I got the toast down, it isn't quite a nice toaster. It's quite quite shiny and sexy.
Oh, yeah.
It's DeLonghi. It's, you know, none of your tat.
Yeah, it's DeLonghi.
It's
sort of DeWidey in it.
Yeah. Would you have sex with it? If there was a really realistic sex
amazing
robot.
like an Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd bang that robot.
Yeah.
That's an ironic joke because it's actually a movie about sexism. It doesn't matter. Do you like Ex Machina? His best movie. It's such a good fucking movie. It's very interesting. I mean, a pretty sexy robot that's a bit like a person. I don't have a moral issue with that, but a really sexy robot that's a lot like a person and might have intelligence, that's a moral quandary, which is what the movie was about.
It's exciting, isn't it?
I would love to have sex with a sexy robot.
Yeah. And it doesn't count as cheating because it's not a person. That's the beauty of it.
Well, then it's great, right? Yeah. But, I mean, I want to have sex with sexy people as well.
Okay, that's...
I could have sex with a sexy person without it being ethically problematic, then, yeah, so a robot's the right
solution.
If
they just painted themselves silver. I mean, I...
I've spoken to a fan. He's back! Because you've finished with the fish pie nonsense. We're talking
about
sexy
fish pie thing. It's either that your bladder is empty. I think you've had enough to drink, mate. So, I think you've had enough.
He's talking to the man in the audience, podcast audience. I have not had enough.
If someone was...
Does anyone not want to bang a robot? Say it's no one.
Yeah, look, but why would she when she's
only
got that
she's
guy?
Tired.
Look at that guy. You got that guy, old Blondie McBlonde.
He looks a bit robot.
Yeah.
Hot robot.
He's done well for himself there, hasn't he?
He looks beautiful, yeah. They're both beautiful. They're both very blonde.
She's much better looking than him.
A little bit Aryan for my taste. Old Hitler moustache here doesn't
mind. It's not right turning up with an attractive partner.
What?
It's not right turning up with... Look at these guys you're sitting next to. They have to sit here with you canoodling, going, We will never know. They're only going to have sex with robots in their life. These guys are just willing it to come through. And then next...
Rubbing it in their face.
It's a sexy podcast, though. I don't blame you. I'll warm her up. You take the... Say, yeah.
Who's regretting coming tonight? Not me. I love Richard. I'm sorry. Ask me something else, or let's go home.
We'll go.
I'm having a lovely time. I just feel.
Oh,
good.
This is a good question. This is my wife asked this question.
Aww.
After a recent one of the many recent disasters, couldn't think.
Did you have lots of disasters?
No, in the world, you know.
Oh, right.
And we're very happy.
It's not your fault.
We're very happy. But she asked me, why do we have frozen peas? And it's quite a good question.
It's
so
a
I would
very
like
good
to
question.
Know the answer to that.
To stop swelling.
Yeah, but
a knock on the head,
it does do that. But not many. Her reasoning was, I thought it was an odd question, but her reasoning was, you know, most vegetables we get fresh, occasionally tinned, but primarily we get peas frozen.
Yeah,
even if you're the kind of person who has all fresh stuff, you'll have peas.
You'll
frozen.
Take your peas frozen.
Yeah, why is that?
I assume it's because they're annoying to shell.
That's why I said.
And so you want to get them all out, and then once you got them out, it's like there's some loss of quality selling them fresh. But no, because they're a very simple little chemical structure, there's not much loss of quality freezing them.
Okay.
good answer.
Pseudoscience.
Something like that. It'll be something like that, won't it? Hey, cock. All right, I'll ask. This is a question that Tim Turner gave me last series. Richard Dawkins claims to have seen dogs doing a 69.
I trust him. I trust him.
What's the worst lie you have ever told people to impress him?
That's an amazing question.
It is.
Certainly doesn't need answering.
I don't know. Since I've asked that question, a few people have sent me pictures of Dog 69ing.
Oh, yeah, Dog 69.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still funny, though.
But I don't think Richard Dawkins has seen that. I think he found out they could do it, and then I'm going to say that.
I think Richard Dawkins has seen more than you think.
Yeah.
Do you think he's seen Dawkins? Dickie Dawkins, weird bloke.
Do you think he's seen God, really, and then gone, oh, shit. Shit, I can't tell people because then I won't sell any more books.
I reckon he might have set them up. Yeah. I reckon he got a dog and went and sort of held them there until they sort of licked as a matter of sort of panting.
Wow.
I reckon he made them do
front
it.
Front page of Chortle tomorrow, that is. Tim Minchin accuses.
I love.
Oh, it's like literally grooming some dogs, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
sure. Yeah. 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 Women?
Women?
Bitches? Were the dogs women? Oh, female know. Dogs? Were they bitches?
I think they were
male dogs.
The hound dogs.
One of each? Were they female or male? Dickie's
male,
dogs.
I think male dogs. What's a male dog called?
It's a dog.
Just a dog.
Is that right? Dog and a bitch? Like cow and a bull?
Yeah.
Dog and a bitch?
That's sexist, isn't it? That is very sexist.
I think it's the very definition of not sexist. It's
very
the
sexist
internet being what it is, it could be sexist by tomorrow.
Yeah.
Poor old. I suspect if you're a bonobo, the girls tend to go at each other pretty hard with the oral sex. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, are you a bonobo?
A bonobo monkey?
Well, it's not monkey, is it? It's a bonobo.
What's a bonobo?
It's a bonobo type of monkey. It's not, is it?
Well, you mean an ape. An ape.
What it is?
Well, you're
it's
no expert.
I don't think it's a monkey. It's an ape. I think it's an ape.
Whatever. I was just clarifying.
Sex, though.
Please, I have to ask you this before you go. Who would you rather died, Windsor Davies or Matthew Crosby's wife?
Say them again.
Windsor Davies.
Don't know.
Or Matthew Crosby's wife.
Don't know. Okay.
So who would you rather died without knowing who either of them are?
I would rather the first one because Matthew Crosby's wife doesn't even have her own identity. She deserves a chance to come to into her own before she cuts.
Yeah.
She deserves to rise up into selfness before we kill her.
Okay. Did you have the Ain't Half Hot Mum in Australia?
What? Fucking what?
If did you have the Ain't Half Hot Mum in Australia?
Ain't Half Hot Fuck.
If,
I don't know what you're
it
saying.
It ain't half hot mum.
It ain't half hot mum. It's not. It isn't half hot, mother.
It ain't half hot, mum.
You aren't. You ain't half hot, mum.
It ain't half hot, mum. Did you have that?
He's talking about his fish mix. Ooh, lovely fish pie mix, but it ain't half hot, mum. Is that like that?
Yeah. Did you have that in Australia?
We had
a TV
Doctor
show.
No.
Wednesdays was probably in Doctor Who. Anyone know? I feel we should
we
have
had
taken,
avocado.
We should have gone out when we were talking about the fish pie. That was the high point.
We peaked, but now we have to keep going.
we have to keep going until we hit another.
Come on, it's going to be amazing. High. It's like hostages. It's like having hostages. What's the syndrome? Stockholm. Stockholm syndrome. You love us because we.
You're like
you.
My joke about that.
I've
done it before for everyone else.
All right, here we go.
You're like this because you're clever. I've got Stockhausen syndrome. I listen to really discordant music for long enough, then I like it.
Yeah, nice. Munchheim. Yeah, nice.
Cheers,
I
thanks.
Like it.
Thank you. It's a good joke. And what about my other joke? This is my other joke. Where does a bird go hold on, I've got it wrong.
I'm just happy he's got two jokes. Twice as many than 4 years
ago. Where does a bird leave its sexual organs when it goes to a nightclub?
It, In the cock room, in the... I don't know.
In the cloaca room.
Ah, fuck! I was so close. I should have fucking got that. So fuck. So angry. Because, I talk about cloacas a lot.
Do you? Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's why they're not that interested. I do that joke every week. Till it hits. The Stockhausen one is...
The fucking cloaca room is much stronger than the Stockhausen. In my...
Yeah. I like it. I think it's a good...
Yeah, cloaca room.
You sort of need to preempt it. If you're doing it in a club set, and you say, oh, by the way, a bird's sexual organ is called a cloaca.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard at jungles.
By the way. Yeah. By the way.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
It's poo and urine and eggs. They all come out the same hole. You with me? Right. Got it. Right. Yeah.
It probably won't come again. Forget about it for a minute.
That's what I do.
And then just at the end, when they're all pooing and throwing shit at you, you drop that puppy, drop the mic and get the fuck off.
Brilliant. It's herring.
Well, what are you going to talk in this? Are you going to do more comedy nights and comedy shows?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to tour again. I will definitely tour again. But the thing is, I've got all a lot. I'm a musician, so it might be a bit more like gigs. Yeah. But I desperately want to get.
When I saw you at the O2, it's the only thing that made sense of a comedy thing at the O2, because you had a fucking massive orchestra.
Yeah, I tried really hard to make it not just stuff. Like, I'm going to make lots of money. Yeah. I tried so hard to make it not I'm going to make lots of money that I made no money. But I had an orchestra, so fuck you all. Yeah, it's brilliant. I absolutely love it. I miss playing live, and I don't know what I'm doing. I've blown it. No, I haven't blown it. I do need to play live again. And I want to tour and I'm
Well, there's a problem if you're doing so many, you know, you're being successful in a lot of different areas.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this is a problem.
You'd be like me, be not successful in lots of areas. You can do all the things you want, but no one's coming going, oh, quit, you have to do another one of those. Because we've invested, like some bloke's probably giving me 50 quid to, you know, mention the name of his stupid shirt company at the front of one or something.
This would be the time, by the way.
Yeah.
Just drop it. I'll tour again, and I assume by the time I do, the interest will have waned, and that's fine. I mean, that's all right. I deserve that. But I'd love to. And the arena thing's bullshit, as we all know, and great to do, but once you've done it, you just don't ever want to do it again. So I would like to tour the UK doing proper theatres, and I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I hope you will.
As long as I don't have to write any new material.
Do you know the... what about doing a musical version of the film A Sound of Music? If you did that, it's already got songs in it. You wouldn't really have to do anything.
It's a pretty good idea.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And would you consider doing a musical of Shrek?
Well, no.
No.
Did you see it?
No.
Did anyone? No. It's all right.
Was it better than you imagine Groundhog Day is, or not as good? Imagine if it's just, no, it was still Groundhog Day, is still what I imagine Groundhog Day is like.
It's fuck. No. Just go and see Groundhog Day.
Everyone go and see Groundhog Day. We're only talking to
you
people here.
You can't sell that. Oh. No, I think it'll be all right.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day will be all right. Shrek wasn't the best idea.
What about Shrek, but it's not about Shrek, it's a Shrek, just another Shrek. It's a different Shrek.
Yeah.
Like, not the Shrek, it's just another Shrek.
Shrek, the pigeon.
No, he's an ogre, but he's just he looks like Shrek.
Oh, he's
like
Shrek.
He's just he's an ogre like Shrek, so he's a Shrek. But he's not Shrek.
And it's just like halfway through the second act, Shrek comes on. He's like, Shrek, Shrek! Oh, it's so confusing. He walks off and you get on with the story.
Yeah.
About this orange guy.
He'd be green. He's still like his... still the same species.
Don't get it.
Okay. That's because you were in the first of these podcasts rather than the 11th or whatever it was. Anyway, I've had a lovely time talking to you.
Sorry, everybody. I'm sorry about me. I'm sorry about Richard Herring. I'm sorry you got stuck in here. Russell Kane was erudite and funny and good looking. You must... We're going to do 25 more minutes and then you can go home. I just want to get off my chest Islam and then we'll go home.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please give a big round of applause to Tim Minchin,
Richard Herring.
I've been listening to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Tim Minchin. The music's by Pest. Thanks to all the usual rogues gallery of idiots, you know, the British Comedy Guide, Leicester Square Theatre, Go Faster Stripe. Thank you to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you to George, the incompetent soundman, for failing to record this correctly. Thank you very much to everyone who's listened. Tell your friends about the show. It's a fuzz. Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato Production. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
On Formative, middle school kids from New York City public schools interview a phenomenal collection of grown-ups.
Me, like, I don't know what I want to do.
You don't have to have all the answers.
I feel like a lot of people's favorite topics are, like, interest in their life.
That is a really good answer.
The podcast where the leaders of today are interviewed by leaders of tomorrow. Listen now at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. richardherring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And gofasterstripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. Do come say hello after the show if you enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.